You can change your world. It is said that 5% of the people make things happen. 15% of the people watch things happen. 80% of the people don't have a clue what happened. The wheels can sometimes come off. Communication imperatives are that 5% of the people think. This is, in fact, a very insulting analogy that I heard in military intelligence. 5% of people think, 15% of people think they think, and 80% of people never think. Now, that's an extremely insulting way of putting it, but basically, it's dividing up the population into the 5%, 15%, and 80% in terms of how much they want to know. For the 5%, you need books, seminars, conferences, documentation. For the 15%, leaflets and video documentaries are needed. For the 80%, we reduce to sound bites, slogans, t-shirts, and bumper stickers. However, every movement in history, good and bad, think everything from the French Revolution, the American War of Independence, Reformation, they all started with books like Lex Rex, and In Defense of Liberty Against Tyrants, great books, and they had conferences, but they went through leaflets and they went through to slogans. Give me liberty or give me death. No taxation without representation, or sola scriptura. So, good or bad, movements are mobilized often by slogans. And so we should start with leadership training and books and seminars. We should have leaflets and documentaries, but we should never neglect the sound bites, the slogans, and the social media. And we've used them, whether on balloons, on banners and posters, whether at life chains or using trailers. But you can get a message over by sound bites. Life begins at conception. Abortion is murder. Choose life so that you and your children can live. These are just some ways we can reach people with a simple but to-the-point message. Radio, community radio, is a very effective way of reaching a large number of people as well. Leaflets, newsletters, magazines, we use these. Websites are increasingly important, as is social media. We must not neglect any of these means of communicating. But the goal is to inform, to inspire, and to involve. We don't just want to inform the head. We don't only want to inspire the heart. We want to involve the hands. Head, heart, hands, and feet. We want to educate people and enlist them. We want to motivate people and mobilize them. And so all good books have a call to action. Raw information, such as makes up the majority of newspapers, or the majority of the web, is cheap. Raw information is cheap. Understanding is valuable, but participation is most precious. And when you can get people actually involved, as Africa Christian Action seeks to get people involved, on the streets, in the actions, in the marches, in the protests, being part of a movement, whether you're talking about home education, evangelism, pro-life protest, whether we're standing up for the rights of the pre-born, doing sidewalk counseling, or whether we're involved in evangelism door-to-door, going into different neighborhoods in order to evangelize, or make a stand at the busy crossroads of the street. The scripture says, does not wisdom cry out at the entrances to the city, at the gates where the paths meet? And so we need to be on the front lines of faith and freedom and for the future and for our families. Protesting, evangelizing, outreaching, in the shopping malls, like we do in missions, to the mall on National Women's Days. And we have used balloons and slogans. Tens of thousands of balloons have been distributed with scriptures and with slogans and with basic messages. And not even an angry atheist can snatch a balloon away from a child. And so we've filled shopping centres with the messages that we wanted to get out through balloons being freely distributed in shopping centres during our missions to the mall. These are just some creative ways one can get involved in the fight for the rights to life of people and babies, or the fight against the new drug, against human trafficking, getting involved in having actual questionnaires, surveys in the shopping malls, asking of the Master, Ten Commandments, faith questions, evangelism, explosion questions, offering people gifts of New Testaments and literature, and praying with people in the shopping malls, on the streets, at the beaches, at busy times, getting into taxi ranks. There's so many different ways we can get people involved in participation. Because raw information is cheap, understanding is valuable, but participation is most precious. Getting people involved in positive action to make a difference in our society, to be salt and to be light, to be part of the trumpet being sounded in Nehemiah, mobilizing people to that part of the wall that is under attack at that moment. So if we can be strategic in our actions, in our words, in our postings, in our social media, getting people back to the Bible. National Days of Prayer and Repentance. This on the lawn in front of Union Buildings. And so the ChristianAction.org today website and Facebook page are part of that battle. We're needing to renew minds, to transform lives, and to make disciples by teaching obedience to all things the Lord has commanded. We desperately need reformation and revival. Now there are two extremes. Facing the threats of secular humanism, the New World Order, attempts to rebuild Babylon, privileges for perverts, the Great Reset, whatever they call it, many people respond in one of two extremes. There are those who deny that any problem exists, and there's those who declare there's no hope. To try to deny reality and to say there's no problem is to fail to recognize the depravity of man. Mankind is in rebellion to Almighty God. And it's impossible to violate God's commands without serious and disastrous consequences. On the other hand, those who say that there is no hope are failing to take into account the sovereignty of God and the power of the Word of God and the power of prayer. We need to be lifting up God's banner on the mountains. We need to speak up on community radio programs, phone-in programs, write letters and articles to our local community newspapers, contribute to or set up websites or blogs or social media that will deal with different issues. We need to rescue, redeem, restore, reform and revive. We need to help build community support structures and get networks, turning the world right side up. In the book of Acts 17, verse 6, we read, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Isn't that a great credit to the church that the world said they've turned the world upside down and they've come here too? The early church in the first century confronted paganism. In a world full of polytheism, they presented monotheism. There's only one God. In a world full of polygamy, many wives, they stood for monogamy. One man, one woman for life. In a world of immorality, they stood for purity. In a world of idolatry, they stood for worship God in spirit and in truth. Where there was statism or Caesar worship, where they declared Caesar's Lord, they proclaimed Jesus is Lord. In fact, he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. In a world that took slavery for granted, they proclaimed liberty to the captives. In a world where animal sacrifice were a regular, normal, daily event, they proclaimed Jesus is the Lamb of God who's been sacrificed sins once and for all, never to be repeated. The day will come and the lion will lie down with the lamb. In fact, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God and he is the lion. There's no need for animal sacrifices today. No need for human sacrifice either. It was so common. Even Julius Caesar did human sacrifices. He's meant to have been advanced. Human sacrifice was very normal in the world in which Jesus came. But he has died for us once for all. There's no need for any other sacrifice. In the old Roman world, child abuse was normal. But Christianity stood for protection of children. Abandonment of babies that were unwanted was so normal, the term thrown to the wolves comes from the Roman practice that if you didn't want your child, you put them in certain places where you could abandon them outside the city walls where the wolves or any other wild animals could take them. And it was illegal to try and rescue them. But the early church rescued abandoned babies as a major ministry. In fact, it's said that in some cases the church grew more by adoption than even did through evangelism. In a world of superstition, in came the church with biblical wisdom. In a world of fatalism, whatever the gods have determined, they came with a message of faith. In a world where occultism was normal, they preached freedom. People who were in bondage to everything came message of deliverance. Jesus came to set the captives free. In a world of conformity where you all had to be the same, the church proclaimed how we could be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The rigid class divisions of the Roman and Greek world was severe, but Christian fellowship broke all those bounds. Whether they were plebeians or patricians, whether they were the hoi polloi, all were able to worship together around the same communion table. The world in which Christ was born was an empire. Imperialism was the norm. But he proclaimed the kingdom of God. The empire grew by invasions, but the kingdom of God expands through missions. Looting was normal. The Romans looted the world. But the kingdom of God is not involved in looting anything. We're involved in charity. The prevailing spirit of the age into which the church was born was a world of greed. And Christians came with the novel concept of benevolence to strangers, charity, generosity. The world was selfish, and Christ preached the radical message of selflessness or unselfishness. Hatred was taught and accepted as normal. Christ is the first to teach love, even love for your enemies. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are today involved in just such a clash of civilizations, which is becoming ever more stark, just like the world into which the church was born on the day of Pentecost back in the first century. In this world war of worldviews, we must confront and counter the evil spirit of this age. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Professor Martin Luther said, "If I declare with the clearest, with the loudest voice and with the clearest exposition, every portion of the truth of God's word, except precisely that point which the devil and the world are at that moment attacking, then I'm not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing. For where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldiers proved. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." What are we facing today? Evolutionism. Or theistic evolution. Atheism. Rejection of intelligent design. We have to stand for creation. Young Earth. Just look at the birds. At the migrations of the birds. At how millions of swallows come every year from Germany to Natal and migrate back again. How we've got so many different species of birds that migrate to South Africa in what is the Northern Hemisphere's winter for our summer and back again. Vast amounts. And across all of Europe, and you see them coming down to southernmost and eastern parts of Africa. And these birds, their GPS system's phenomenal. We've got several ministries just set up for ministering to animals and regarding ministering about stewardship of nature and the importance of God's creation, like the BibleAndAnimals.org, the We Love God's Animals Facebook page, and Wonderful Wildlife. The creation versus evolution debate is critical. Praise God for Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. They've done a phenomenal work and are providing a rallying point for Christians around the world. You can learn more science in visiting Ark Encounter or the Creation Museum than you can in years in the average school classroom. This Ark Encounter is a phenomenal achievement. By the way, to build it, they recruited the Amish and the Mennonites, the best carpenters in the world, to build the largest wooden structure on earth. An amazing testament. Abortion is a major battle today. The ultimate child abuse. We need to be proclaiming life. Anyone can see that this is a dolphin in the womb. And this is an elephant in the womb. And this is a cheetah in the womb. But that's not a baby, that's not life, that's just a blob of tissues. And the inconsistency of so many people when it comes to something as obvious as abortion kills baby. Life is precious. Abortion is murder. We live in a world where pleasure is worshipped. Instead of the worship of pleasure, we should be proclaiming the pleasure of worship. Hedonism, which means living for yourself and for your own pleasures, is the prevailing attitude of the world. We are preaching holiness. Not hedonism, but holiness. J.C. Ryle says, the heart that has really tasted the grace of Christ will instinctively hate sin. We're living in a world of propaganda. We need to proclaim the truth of God's word. We're living in a world of deception. We need to be proclaiming discernment. Hollywood is defiling, distracting, and degrading everything good in Christian civilization. We need to proclaim real history. The problem is not with books getting banned, but with people no longer reading. You don't have to burn books to destroy culture just to get people to stop reading. And this is one of the biggest problems in our society, is we're developing a generation that doesn't read. Pornography is what the world proclaims. We stand for purity. Modesty is not about hiding your body, it's about revealing your dignity. Blasphemy is proclaimed, especially by the news media and by Hollywood, and there is a blasphemous antichrist spirit in the world today. But we stand for honoring God. If you must curse, use your own name. Don't use God's name. Peer pressure is pervasive, but we need to fear God, not man. If you want to be popular, preach happiness. But if you want to be unpopular, preach holiness. That's so true. We must reject the health and wealth, name it and claim it, me-centered, materialistic gospel. We need to be preaching a Christ-centered, God-honoring, Bible-based message. And we need to kneel before God alone, not man. The world is promoting, celebrating, and pushing perversion. We need to be promoting families. The most radical countercultural thing you can do is to be straight, to get married, to have children, to build up a family that will love and fear the Lord. The best protection against AIDS and STDs and all that are wedding rings. And remember, animals are part of your family too. We need to again get around the meal table, around God's word, and praying together. The amount of families that just gather around a TV set, shocking. Even in Paris, more than 1 million Parisians marched to protest against the attempt to legalize homosexual marriages. I didn't know there were that many French people who cared. But in some of the most surprising places, there's resistance growing. The world is proclaiming ignorance and cynicism. We need to proclaim knowledge and faith. Indoctrination is the name of the game, but we are promoting real education, teaching people how to think critically. The world wants to teach you what to think. We need to learn how to think critically. Political correctness versus freedom of thought. Political correctness is intellectual dishonesty. We need to be biblically accurate, not politically accurate. I'd rather be hated for speaking God's truth than hailed for trying to redefine God's word. Repeating the mantras of the world versus freedom of speech. Towing the party line versus freedom of the press. Better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie. Many want to follow the herd. We believe in freedom of association. The New Age interfaith is the flavor of the month, but we believe in freedom of religion. Conformity is what the communists want. We believe in being transformed, not conformed. Degeneration is what the world is heading to. Regeneration is what we are all about. The world uses guilt manipulation. We need real repentance of real sins, as in breaking of God's 10 commandments. And at the other end of real repentance is forgiveness, freedom, and deliverance. The world is full of the politics of guilt and pity. It's all your fault. But we are using missions and charity. The world wants centralization. That's the solution. Tower of Babel type of thing, as seen in the EU. They've literally built their parliament in Strasbourg looking like the Tower of Babel, deliberately. But we believe in decentralization. In every age, God confounds all attempts at rebuilding the Tower of Babel. Revolution is in the air, but we stand for reformation, back to the Bible. Technology does not necessarily mean progress. The world is actually into regression. But we are aiming and praying for revival. The world wants you to tattoo your body, free demon with every tattoo. We need to respect our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit. The socialists want compulsory confiscation and mandatory mask wearing, of course, and vaccinations, because their ideas are so good they just have to be made mandatory at the point of a gun. So good that half the population of Zimbabwe have fled under the barbed wire and across the fences and across the rivers to escape from the socialist paradise of Mugabe socialism. We believe in voluntary generosity. It's a big difference between what's yours is mine and taking and saying what's mine is yours and sharing. Huge difference in compulsion and voluntary generosity. One of the ways we try to help our friends in Zimbabwe is boxes with love. Putting together boxes of essential items that can make some people's lives brighter, encourage our friends who are suffering, pensioners in particular, also some prisoners and pastors, taking them over the border to Zimbabwe. Socialism versus free enterprise. Believing that government produces wealth is like believing that wrecking balls produce buildings. The world wants racial quotas, even in the sports place. We believe in freedom of opportunity to all. Affirmative action is the way of the world, but we hold to a Christian work ethic. I remember at age 12 seeing nurses kneeling down and praying at the beginning of their shifts in hospital. I don't know when people last saw that. Human rights is what they talk about, but the Bible's emphasis is on personal responsibilities. Slaves see freedom as a license. Free men see freedom as a responsibility. The world solution, well, especially American solutions to everything, is bomb other countries. But we believe rather send them Bibles than bomb them. I've heard people in America saying, the people in the Middle East hate us because we free. I say, no, they hate you because you bomb them. Nobody hates Switzerland, and Switzerland's free, but Switzerland doesn't bomb people. Just stop bombing people and they won't hate you so much. Instead of sending in the Marines, how about sending in missionaries? They'll do a lot more good. Instead of salvation through politics, as Ben Carson says, we've been conditioned to think that only politicians can solve our problems, but we need to wake up and recognize it was politicians who created our problems in the first place. We believe in salvation in and through our Lord Jesus Christ alone. There's no salvation through politics. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, is the prayer we need to pray. The world believes you've got to change laws to change people. We believe you must change people's hearts in order to transform society. Sympathy is no substitute for action. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go and do likewise to others. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but will itself endure forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the nations will bow down before him. But dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.